As you know, maybe you've heard around announcements that we are doing a three-day fast. As a church, we're very excited about that, just to really see God's face and to hear from God, His heart for us as a church, but also for this town and this nation. And from time to time, we want to come together as a church to really humble ourselves before God and to seek His face. And we're doing it this time through a fast. It's a three-day fast. We're inviting everybody to join us. Now, if you haven't fasted before, don't panic. It's very simple. You just don't have to eat. Okay? And we're doing a water fast, but we want to encourage you, if you haven't fasted before, there's no obligation to do the entire 3 days. We would like you to do 3 days, but we also want to extend an invitation to join us as you practically can. If you've never fasted before, you know the first day sometimes is the most difficult day, especially towards the end of the day. But please, if you feel uncomfortable or too weak, don't feel condemned if you do not do the entire 3 days. You are welcome to continue to join us in prayer, even though you could not necessarily do the entire 3 days fast. But we really want to encourage you to do that. And then when you finish your three-day fast, please don't break it with 3 pizzas and a hamburger. It's good to eat something small and to gradually increase that. Okay, is that okay for those who haven't fasted before? I don't want to say you will not die. Most people don't. I haven't heard of anybody that died yet. But please, if you feel uncomfortable or you're too weak, please eat again. There's no pressure. But we really would like everybody to join us, even if you can't join us with prayer, with us corporately. Please join with us in prayer at your home or at work. And we're going to trust God for a great breakthrough. Is that all right? Great, wonderful. Right, this morning I would like to share around one particular verse, and I'm going to share many verses because I don't have a lot to say, so I tend to read a lot in the Bible. The first one I want to start off with is Psalm 2, verse 8. It's a very well-known portion of Scripture, and it's such an amazing invitation. God says, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance." Who of you have heard that scripture before? I mean, what an awesome scripture, what a powerful invitation where God comes to us and He speaks about three things. He speaks about inheritance, He speaks about the nations, and He speaks about us asking Him for these things. And that's so powerful, it's so exciting, and I want us to look at these things in the context of this three-day fast, where we're coming together to see God's face and to ask Him for our inheritance. Now, I want us to look at this and what God is saying through the Scripture. Now, whenever Scripture talks about inheritance, and we see throughout Scripture, it's a theme that continues, an inheritance. Something that God has given to us that we not necessarily deserve, but it is ours. It's something given to us by God, even though we don't deserve it. But then on the other hand, even though it's something given to us that we do not deserve, throughout Scripture we see that possession is, inheritance is something that we need to take possession of. It's something given to us, but on the other hand, we need to take hold of it. It is ours for the taking. But it's only ours as we take it. And that's one of the themes that we see right throughout Scripture. Here in Joshua 1 verse 1, we read of the great inheritance that God promised the Israelites. And we see here from verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, "Moses are dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I've promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, to the Hittites' country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. For as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. But be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them." And so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan there, here, to take in and take, to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving to you as your own. I mean, what an awesome promise that God gave the Israelites. He gave them the promise of this land. And he said, this is your inheritance. But even though it's your inheritance, I want you to take hold of it. It is yours. He explained the extent of it. He says, everything I've promised, I will give you, but you must go and take it. You must go and possess it. And that's something about inheritance. God has an inheritance for us, but he wants us to take ownership of it. He wants us to take hold of it. Then the other thing that we see in this verse, it speaks about the nations. It speaks about what this inheritance is. This inheritance is not just a physical inheritance. It's not an earthly inheritance. It's not silver and gold. It's something else. This inheritance is the nations, and it speaks about the purposes of God, the eternal purposes of God. Here in Matthew chapter 6, we read that we should not store up for ourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But we should store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Our inheritance that God has given us is not an earthly inheritance. It's not silver and gold. It's not perishable things. It's something of eternal value, and it speaks about the nations. It speaks about the fact that our inheritance is eternal. And that is in a direct correlation with the advancing of the kingdom of God. We see that the kingdom of God and the advancing of it is directly in correlation to the inheritance that we will receive one day for eternity. I mean, the Great Commission is directly related to Psalm 2 verse 8. I mean, where God speaks to us as the church about our future. It says here that Jesus, proclaiming, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Why all nations? Because it's our inheritance. The nations is our inheritance, and God says we must go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. It's so powerful if you would take the commissioning of Joshua and the Israelites, and you would take the Great Commission, and you would study the two, and you will see how they agree with each other, how they correlate. How there's so many promises that God has gave Joshua, you will find those same promises in the commission. Where he says, listen, you must take hold of everything that I've given you, and you must take hold of the inheritance, and I will be with you to the end of the age. God has given us an inheritance. He's given us an eternal inheritance. And then it also speaks about the fact that we need to ask God for it. God is giving us an invitation to ask him for our inheritance, to actually take ownership of it. And that is done through prayer. God has given us an inheritance, but he wants us to take ownership of it. And prayer is one of the keys to taking ownership of the promises that God has given us. And I want us to look at just that. I want us to start looking at prayer. And I want to ask you a simple question this morning before I continue. What is prayer? What is prayer? If somebody ought to ask you this question, what is prayer? What is the first thing that goes through your mind when somebody would ask you the simple question? What is prayer? Is there any suggestions? Communion with God. That's good. Anything else? What is the first thing? It's not a trick question. Conversation, communication. Would you agree? One of the first things that we think about when we talk about prayer, it is simply a communication with God. It is speaking to God and God speaking to us. For many people, prayer is simply a one way, but actually prayer is a two-way conversation. It is a place where we come before God to speak to him, but also to receive from him. So prayer, to a large extent, is about speaking to God and asking God things and declaring things before God. But I want to ask you another question. Who of you, in your experience of prayer, have asked God for things and then did not receive it? Okay, there's some of us. Okay, there's a couple of us that has a 100% prayer record. I need to speak to you afterwards because you know something that I don't. But most of us have experienced the reality of asking God for things and then not receiving it. And you know what? For many years, I struggled with that. I couldn't understand why would I ask God for certain things and then not receive it. And I had to struggle with it because, first of all, I thought it had to do something with my faith. But then I realized sometimes I prayed for stuff with lots of faith and not receiving them. And other times with very little faith, I receive it. So very soon I realized, but listen here, there's something else here. It's not as simple as a lack of faith is the reason for not receiving what I'm asking God for. Because so many times in all my faith, I did not receive. And so many times with so little faith, God responds. And then I realized it was something else, but I couldn't really put my finger on it until I became a parent myself. And I got kids. And then all of a sudden, I got lots of requests. And then all of a sudden, I had to make a decision whether I'm going to say yes or no, whether I'm going to provide or withhold. You know what? The classic example is my little kids will come to me 15 minutes before dinner. Classic. Can I have a chocolate? I mean, who've experienced that, parents? I mean, isn't that amazing? They normally ask you for chocolates just before mealtimes. But nevertheless, my kids are very good with that. They will come to me and ask me for something sweet just before their meal. And then my response would be, no. Now, is there something wrong with chocolates? No. Is there something, well, some say yes. I like my chocolates. But no, there's nothing wrong with chocolates. And there's nothing wrong with my kids. And there's nothing wrong with my relationship with my kids. It is nothing to do with the chocolates or the kid or my relationship with the kid for withholding the chocolate. Because you know what? You first need to eat your food. Because there's something that your body needs more than sugar right now. So first eat your food and then you can have your chocolate. And all of a sudden I started to realize, but so many times I ask God for stuff that I want, but God does not necessarily give it to me, not because there's something wrong with what I want, or something wrong with me, or something wrong with my relationship with God. It is simply because what I'm asking for is not what I need right now. And sometimes God withholds from us because He first wants to give us that what we need before we get what we want. And so many times in our own relationship with God, we sometimes struggle to understand that. Sometimes we feel rejected because we don't get what we ask. But you know, I remember as a young man, I started to pray for my wife the day I left school. I was only 17. I finished matric, I was a year early in school. So I finished school at 17. And you know, ever since I left school, I was praying for God to give me a wife. Who's done that before? Okay, who's still praying for their wife? Come on, don't be shy. Well, or husband. I saw that hand, but, you know, we know what we're talking about. You know? And I was praying for God for my wife. And you know what? I only got married when I was 28. That was like almost like 10 years, 11 years later, I only received. You know, it was so frustrating because I could see many of my friends, they got their wives. And here I am still praying for God for a wife. But you know, now that I'm married, I realized, you know what, it was maybe a good thing because there were certain things that God still first had to establish in me before I could get married. There was nothing wrong with asking for a wife. There was nothing wrong with me in my relationship with God, but the timing was not right. Sometimes we miss God's timing. You know, I think it's healthier from time to time to ask God what He knows we need rather than to ask Him what we think we need. Does that make sense? I mean, from time to time, we must actually go to God and say, God, tell me what you know I need so that I can ask you for that. Instead of always coming to God to tell Him what we think we need or what we think is best. You know, we were in a wildlife game reserve this week. My father-in-law had his 60th birthday, and he blessed us, the entire family, to this game reserve. And it was a great game reserve. I can't remember the name. Where's my wife? Oh, what? Madikwe. I don't know if you know that one. It's about 750 square kilometers. It's got all the big five and all the extras. And it's apparently quite an expensive Lani place, but there's one camp that the locals can still afford. That's where we were. And I think why it's affordable is because this camp, even though the big five and the hyenas and the lions and the leopards are walking around, it had no fences around it. You know, it was very cheap. You know, it's for the locals. But we had our own warden there with a vehicle, an open-top vehicle, so we went to look at the big five during the day. It was very exciting to find the lions and the leopards, or we didn't find the leopards. It's the only thing we didn't find. But nevertheless, the nice thing about this camp is at night, you see the big five as well, because they come to the camp looking for food, most probably. But it was very exciting to see that. Now, one of the things that we saw was the brown hyena. Now, apparently, that's very rare. I don't know if you know anything about it, but I heard it's very rare, the brown hyena. We saw one every night at our camp, obviously looking for food. But we learned that the owner of the camp used to throw, or still does, throw out bones every night for the hyena. So that's why we saw the brown hyena every night. But the problem is, we never could get a picture of it. But at this camp, there was a big lake, a pond, with a nice spotlight on the pond, so you could see the lions and the rhinoceroses and the elephants and everything, the rhinos coming to drink at night. But this hyena was very clever. It kept on walking in the dark. It never walked where the light was. So then I thought, listen, you know, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to throw out our bones, but we're going to throw it close to the pond in the light so that when the hyena comes, we can take nice photos. But this evening, there was no game. Everything was quiet. And I was very geared to take this few bones and throw it in the light. Now, the light is about 30 meters away from our stoop and about 20 meters away from the pond. Okay? So, as I was planning to do this, my wife, she's like the Holy Spirit, she started to speak. She said, "You will not go out." And I was kind of contemplating how I'm going to make sure that my wife takes the kids to the room so that I can quickly sneak out. And as she was talking and trying to convince me not to go out, here comes the lions, 2 minutes later, to have a drink. Now, why am I telling the story? Oh, sometimes the things that we want and the timing of it is dangerous. And sometimes God keeps certain things for us because it is not for our own well-being's sake to have that right now. So I've learned a valuable lesson. You must listen to your wife when she speaks to you. We nearly saw the only thing that we missed, and that was a live kill. So I'm glad I listened. Okay. But there's another thing that I've discovered about prayer, and that is that there is another dimension about prayer, and it's not just about making my requests and my desires known to God. There is another dimension to prayer, and that is exercising my authority that He has given to me. Now, God has given to us many great things. Prayer is not just an inward expression of our needs and our desires. It also has an outward component where we pray for others' needs and desires. But then there's another very important aspect of prayer, and that is simply exercising our authority to extend the kingdom of God. Because you must remember, we were born into the family of God with a legacy and with a purpose. And this legacy and inheritance and purpose is to extend the kingdom of God. And God has invited us into his family, but by default, we have also inherited the legacy and the purpose of this family. And that is to see the salvation of souls. That is to see his kingdom advance at the expense of the kingdom of darkness. And where two kingdoms clash, there is war. Because one loses and the other one gains. But God has given us everything that we need to fulfill his purpose in our life, to see his kingdom advance. Now, prayer is a very powerful weapon to advance the kingdom of God, because we learn to stand in the authority that God has given us. You know, it's to advance the kingdom, it's to take back what the devil has stolen, and it's to take possession of what is given to us. Similar to that of the Israelites. God gave them a promise. He gave them an inheritance, and then they said, now I want you to go and take it. I'm not removing the giants. I'm not removing the fortified cities. It is yours, but you must go and possess it. Because you are my children. And I want to teach you to take ownership of your inheritance. And so God also deals with us. Remember that we have been given the mandate to advance the kingdom of God. We have been given that mandate to advance that kingdom of God. And that kingdom is also our inheritance. I mean, Romans 8 says it so beautifully. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. You see, the advancement of the kingdom of God is also our inheritance. And God says, listen, yeah, I want you to share, not just in this purpose, but I want you to share in the reward. And as we advance the kingdom, we also advance our own inheritance to share with Christ. So exercising our authority in Christ is part of God's plan for redemption of humanity. God did not just send his son to set us free from sin. God sent his son to give us a birthright into the legacy of God and to see his kingdom advance through us. Now that is something amazing about the wisdom of God, that he chose us and he wants us to partake with Christ in the purposes of Christ so that we can share with Christ in the reward one day. And that's the great invitation that God has given to each one of us, to partake in his purposes. You must remember, in the beginning when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them delegated authority. Remember, he said, listen, I want you to rule over everything, over all the earth, everything that I've created. I'm going to put man in charge of everything. I'm going to give them dominion, authority, delegated authority. That authority is based on their submission to my authority, their relationship to me. Through that relationship with me, I will give them dominion over everything. But then we knew what happened. The fall came to be. We forfeited our authority. Why? Because we chose to submit to Satan and not to God. We had the authority while we were obedient to God, but then we chose to submit to Satan and his suggestions. And when we chose to submit to him, we forfeited our authority to him. And he became the ruler of the world. This is why this world that we live in today is in a mess, because it's under his control. But Christ came to do something very powerful. He came to disarm the powers and the principalities of their authority and dominion, to give it back to the children of God. That is where we come in. You know, some people struggle to understand that, but you know what? I think 2 weeks ago, Lucille was preaching, or Fred was preaching, about the temptation. You know, when Jesus was in the desert fasting for 40 days, and you'll know that experience after this weekend, you know, after 3 days you will be hungry, okay? And the reason why the devil tempted Jesus after 40 days with food is because it was a real temptation, okay? After 40 days, he was really hungry, so therefore it was a real temptation. But you know what was the second thing he did? He took him up to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And the reason he gave that to him is because it was a real temptation. But listen to what Satan had to say. The devil led him up on a high place and showed him, it's Luke 4, and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it shall be yours. And it was a real temptation because it was the truth. But you know what Christ came to do? He came to break the power and the authority of Satan, so that the children of God can stand in that authority and rule and reign once again. And that is where our authority comes from. You know, we used to be here in this side of the divide, in Adam. We used to be lost in our sin, in our sinfulness, and in our weakness. But then God came through his Son and paved the new way, so that we no longer have to be here in Adam. This is a position in the spiritual realm where we were defeated. Then Christ came to pay the new way for humanity, so that whosoever crosses this divide can now be a new creation in Christ. Okay? And from this place in Christ, we have regained the authority and the dominion, so that we can exercise that authority to accomplish God's purposes. Now, many Christians still struggle with that. Even though they're born again, they operate as if they are still here. We operate as if we are defeated, as if we have lost the battle, and it's just a matter of survival. Instead of understanding that we are no longer there in Adam, we are now in Christ. And in this position, things have changed. The wheel has turned. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22 talks about that. It talks about in Adam, we all died, but now in Christ, we've all been made alive. We used to be here, but now we're in a different position. A position of authority in Christ. You know, well, more than 50 times in the New Testament, it speaks about this position of being in Christ. No longer in Adam, but here in Christ. In Ephesians, it puts it beautifully. Chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, and then verse 10. It says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches and grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't that amazing? I find it's very amazing. That we are no longer trapped here in our weakness, but we are now in Christ, and with that comes authority. With that comes a position of authority that we can exercise to do the works that God desires us to do. As the family of God, you know what? There's so many powerful things that God communicates to us throughout Scripture. He says this in your, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, the gates are a defensive position. It's the strongest defensive position of any fortified city. It's not even an offensive position. And God is saying, my church will advance against the kingdom of darkness, and its strongest defense will not prevail against it. And we are the church. We are the church, and God has given us an inheritance, and he's given us the authority so that we can advance, and that we can take what is rightfully ours. He wants us to possess what he has given us. But the question is, where are you standing? Are you still here, or are you operating from this place? And that is the key of winning this war. This is the key of engaging and taking hold of our inheritance. It's where you position yourself. If you try to do it from this place, you will struggle, but if you understand what God has done for you through Christ, you can overcome all the good works, all the things that he's prepared for you in advance. And what is this good works that he talks about here in 2 Corinthians? We read something about that. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 to 20, it says something very powerfully concerning this position and this position. It says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and that he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making an appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Isn't that amazing? God is saying, listen, I have established reconciliation between God and man, and I've given you that ministry. I've given you the mandate to take this great and awesome message, this great and awesome and very powerful ministry into the world and to extend my kingdom. You know, that's one of the most amazing things about me. When Jesus rose from the dead and all the powers and principalities was disarmed and made a public spectacle of, Jesus stayed for 40 days to make sure that all his disciples knew that he overcame, and then he left. He simply said, listen, you guys, I've come to establish something, but now I'm giving you the mandate. I've come to establish this kingdom, but I want you now to go into the world. I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to go and extend this kingdom. Run with it. Take possession of it. It is yours. It has been paid for in full. It's been bought. It's been established. But now I want you to go and take it. Take ownership of it. Go and possess it. Go take out the giants. Go kill the enemy. Go destroy the fortified cities. But you take hold of it. I'm going to the Father, but I'm not leaving you alone. But I'm sending one to empower you. So it's so powerful to understand that, listen, we've been given the mandate. We've been given the mandate to extend the kingdom of God. He's commissioned us. We know the Great Commission. Jesus said something very powerful. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go. In other words, with that authority, I am commissioning you to go and make disciples of all nations to take the inheritance. And that's the beauty of the church. We all are born into this family and we all have a role to play. Then the other thing that God is, he said, is I am empowering you to do this. He told his disciples, listen here, this is your commission, but before you go into all the world, I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit, remember? Because when he comes, he will give you power. To do what? To extend the kingdom, to be witnesses. Here we read it in Acts chapter 1. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Why the ends of the earth? It is our inheritance. It is our inheritance. God says, listen, it's yours. I've given you the commission. I've given you the power. And then we need to ask ourselves, where are we standing? Are we standing in a place where we embrace it, receive it, or are we still defeated? You know, there's something interesting about our positioning. If we're here in Christ versus being here in Adam. If we are still here in Adam, you know what? Our primary concern is about this life and about things that we can gain here. But the moment we cross over here, you know what? Our primary concern is about eternity. All of a sudden, it's not so much about the silver and the gold and the inheritance that I can leave for my children here and the things that I can gain in this life. The moment I start moving over here and I'm starting to embrace what God has given me, you know what? My primary focus is eternity. All of a sudden, God's kingdom becomes a priority in my life. And it's no longer a struggle to seek first the kingdom of God because I've embraced the fact that the inheritance that God has given me is eternal. The other thing that God has given us, the third thing, is authority. You know, in Matthew 16, verse 19, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Isn't that amazing? God has not just given us the commissioning, He's not just given us the power, He's also given us the authority. He says, listen, yeah, this is yours. But you've got to go possess it. You know, God was amazing in how He dealt with the Israelites. The great parallel between Israel and the church today. He says, there is your inheritance, but it's full of giants, it's full of fortified cities and great armies. But don't be afraid. I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. As a matter of fact, as you go into everywhere the soles of your feet tread, that will be yours. Why? Because I'm with you. But Joshua, I want you to go. Israel, it's yours. It's your inheritance. It's out there. Do you want it? If you want it, then go and take it. And you know what? The sad thing is, Israel didn't want it. And God said, fine, you can be in the desert for 40 years. I'll still love you. I'll still provide for you. I'll still send the manna. I'll still send the birds. I'll still send the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. I'll still provide for you with water. I'll still make sure that your clothes do not wear and your shoes do not wear. I'll still love you, but you know what? I'll give it to Caleb and Joshua because they clearly want it. You stay here. I'll wait for them. God still makes the same invitation to the church. He says, there's your inheritance. If you want it, go and take it. Don't be afraid. Be bold and be courageous. I'm with you. I've given you everything that you need. I've given you the commissioning. I've given you the power. I've given you the authority. But you must go. You know, prayer is simply when we come before God and we say, God, give me the inheritance. God, show me the things that you've given me. God, I want to speak to the devil that has come to steal, to kill, to destroy. I want to speak to him and say, you no longer have place here. You no longer have room. You no longer have right here. We are here as your children to take what you have rightfully given us. That's spiritual warfare. That's what prayer is. That is when we come together and we say, God, we want you to give us this town. We want to claim it, God, as our inheritance. And God, we are not afraid. We are not ashamed. That's the powerful thing about intercession. When we start to understand that, listen here, in Christ, He has given us everything that we need to take hold of His possession. Because you know what? God is glorified when we extend His kingdom. For God, there is no greater joy to see His children partake in His purpose and succeed in it. It's like your own children doing and succeeding in the things that you love. I mean, isn't there some... I mean, you know, sometimes we pressurize our children to do the things that we like. But you know what? Isn't it great to see your children succeed in life? And even greater when they succeed in things that you are passionate about. God wants us to succeed in His passion. And He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. Prayer has a lot to do with taking up that position in Christ and exercising that authority. You know, another word that God gave us for this 3 days is about unblocking the wells that the enemy has filled. You know, when God gave Abram this awesome promise, the covenant, about this awesome land. Abram started to take ownership of it and he started to dig wells to provide for his family and his offspring and all his wealth, all his animals. But the enemy came and he filled those wells the moment Abram died. Because they understood that, listen, yeah, these wells are the source of the provision for his inheritance. And you know what's the first thing that Isaac did? He went back to those wells and he digged it up. Because he realized, listen, yeah, this is my inheritance. And sometimes the enemy will come and he will come and fill the provision in your life. He will come and fill the things and the promises that God has given you. And you know what? So many times as Christians, we operate from this place and we sit back and we don't know what to do. We feel as if we're defeated. And we allow the enemy to come to kill,
to steal, to destroy. Instead of standing from this place and saying, you know what? I'm no longer there. I am now in Christ. I'm now seated with Him in heavenly places. And He has commissioned me. He has empowered me through His Holy Spirit. And He has given me the authority. And I'm not going to allow you to cross this line. This is it, brother. What are you doing here? I'm not going to allow you to desecrate my parade ground. In the army, we used to use other words. But nevertheless, I will not allow you to come here. This is not your turf, devil. This is the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, to move. Not in my name, but in His name. It's His authority. It's something powerful to understand about taking possession of our inheritance. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, we read, no matter how many promises God has made, listen to this, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes, where? In this side. Where are they yes? In this side. But isn't that powerful? No matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes, here, in Christ. If we start to operate from this place, it starts to work. You know, like Joshua, everywhere the feet of your soul will tread, there will be with you. But the question is, do you really want it? Here in Romans chapter 8, we read something that is so sad. You know what? So many Christians today, we operate as if we are defeated. Because we don't sometimes understand what God has given to us. It says here in Romans 8, yet we in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And it is all about where you position yourself. We are more than conquerors through Him. Not through ourselves, but through Him. It's a position that we take in. Are you going to allow the devil to steal from you? Or are you going to operate in the authority and the position and the anointing that God has given us as His children? Because He wants us to kick His butt. That's what God wants. He wants us to chase the devil away. In 2 Peter 1 verse 3 to 4, it says, His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness through the knowledge of Him who's called us by His glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. You know, sometimes we struggle with sin. You know, it's because we are still operating from this place. And God says, no, man, you must see yourself through my eyes. You must start to take up the things that I have given you. Because from this place you will overcome. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says, praise be to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing. Oh, sorry, this is a different translation. Praise be to God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. God is saying every spiritual blessing is in this place, and we need to operate from that. Paul says we need to put on Christ. We need to take ownership from this. And isn't that amazing that God says everything that I've promised you is yours, but you need to take hold of it. Our challenge is we shouldn't allow the devil to lie to us when he comes to steal from us. But we must operate from this place in overcoming him. Amen? Okay. That place is found here and not there. I'm going to conclude with this. God has given us awesome promises. He's given us an inheritance. He's saying, listen, you ask me for the nation as your inheritance. Ask me. Come to me. Take ownership of it. It is yours. If you want it, you must go and take it. Don't sit back and wait, but stand up from this place and take it. And in many in our lives, God has made awesome promises. And God has given us an inheritance. But so many of us still fail to take hold of that. And I want to encourage you, when we are coming through this weekend, I want you to take that inheritance. I want you to take the promises of God. I want you to take the authority, the mandate, the anointing that God has given us, and we need to exercise that in that boldness. Where we come from a place where we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, where we are not the tail but the head, where we are not defeated but that we overcome, that we can speak to the enemy, and that we can claim what God has given us in our own lives. You know what? So many Christians, the devil has come to steal in your life. He's come to fill the wells. He's come to destroy in your life. For some of us, you know what? We need to take up our authority and ownership of our own lives, of our family's lives, of this nation's lives. Because God has given it to us. Amen? Okay, let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for everything that you have given us through your Son. Lord, we want to thank you, God, that you've given us life. You've given us freedom. God, you've given us confidence to come into your presence without shame or guilt. But Father, also you've given us an inheritance. God, you have given us an awesome inheritance. You've given us the privilege to be co-heirs with your Son that will inherit everything, Father. And you have given us the commission. You've given us the mandate, the power, and the authority to take what is ours, to take hold, to take ownership of everything that you have promised. God, and I want to pray for us as a church in this day, God, that we will start to see what you've done for us, but also take ownership of that inheritance. God, I want to pray for every life here this morning. God, I want to pray for those, God, who are still struggling, Father, to see themselves in Christ, to operate from that place of abundance in you, God. Lord, I want to pray, God, that you will open our eyes to see what you have done for us, God, but that we will be bold and courageous to take those steps and to claim what you have given us. God, not just in our lives, not just in our families, God, but even in this town and in this church. God, I pray that you will come and awaken us to everything that you have given us. In Jesus' name, God. And as I've been praying, God, I know, Lord, there are some people here this morning that are still struggling, God. They are struggling with this divide in their life, God. They are struggling as if they are still in two places. That sometimes you feel you are still in Adam, as if you are struggling to overcome. And other times, you have the glimpse of the victory and the strength and the anointing of God in your life. But I really believe there's some people here this morning that God really wants to set free, that He wants to encourage to move from this place of being in Adam to move to this place of being in Christ, where you are free and where you understand everything that God has given you. If that is you this morning, if you are struggling between these two places, I just want you to raise your hand before God. There's some people here this morning, you feel that you are defeated. You are a Christian, but you feel as if you are defeated. And I really believe this morning that God, you can drop your hands. I really believe that God wants to minister to you this morning. He wants to take you from this place of defeat, and He wants to lift you from this place. He wants to lift you from whatever you are struggling with, so that you can be seated with Christ in heavenly places, blessed with every spiritual blessing, that He can open your eyes to see what He has already given to you, so that you can overcome in the authority. There are some of us here this morning that the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And God is saying this morning, enough! Enough! Open your eyes and see what I've already given to you. If that is you this morning, if you are one of those people that just feel that as if the devil is overwhelming you, God wants to lift you up this morning. He wants to put you across this line into Christ so that you can overcome. If that is you, just raise your hand this morning before God. And then there's another group of people that I believe God wants to speak to. You can drop your hands again. Some of us here needs to take ownership. We need to take ownership of the things that God has given us. It's that you believe it, you see it, you're even excited about it, but God says it's time to take ownership. I don't know who you are, but you know who you are. God is saying you must take ownership of your life and the promises in your life. You must take ownership of your family. You must take ownership of this church. You must take ownership of this nation and this town. It is time to take ownership. It's time to cross that Jordan. You're standing at the Jordan and you are seeing those promises. You are seeing the giants and you're seeing those cities. But God is saying to you this morning, it is time to take ownership. It's time to cross this river. Don't be afraid. Just be very bold and courageous and know I'm with you. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. Just before God. Now I'm going to ask you to do something bold. If you've raised your hand this morning, I want you to act on it. I want you to act on it. I want you to respond to God, and we're going to pray with you. But I want you to take a step of faith that as you stand from your seat and you come forward, that God is going to establish in you what you desire Him to do in your life. So I'm going to ask you, everybody that's raised their hand, just quickly come forward. And we're going to pray with you.